Andy Burnham. It joins us, the Mayor of Greater Manchester. So, almost a week on, Andy. How do you feel on reflection?
Still struggling to come to terms, really, with what happened. The sheer despicable nature of the act, Damon, if I'm honest, I keep going back to that. But then I just keep saying, how good is this place? How good are these people? You know, I'm the luckiest person, aren't I, to be able to represent a place like this with values like these. And, you know, the way the city has come together and actually given the best possible response to terrorism. Terrorism is about dividing, isn't it? It's about causing fear amongst communities. It's about causing conflict. And this place has just said, we're not going to let you do that. We're not having that. And for me, that is just incredible. There was a journalist in the Sunday Times yesterday saying she'd covered terrorism atrocities all around the world and had never seen anything like this. And, you know, I think people should take great pride.
You've been involved in frontline politics, national politics, for many years, Andy. How do you feel now that this is a global stage, and yet essentially this is about a region, it's about Greater Manchester? How does it compare these last few days since you were elected to, you know, sitting on the front benches at the House of Commons, for example?
Well, it's more real, Eamon, and that's, you know, where I'd kind of fallen out of love with Westminster politics, to be honest, you know, all the point scoring. And I might say, I mean, I don't like some of the way the election debate has now picked up this issue again. And that's, to be honest, what I wanted to leave behind, you know, some of these crass points being made about it. And for me, you know, I would rather deal with the real situation and make a contribution in the best way that I can. To people here as we grapple with this and we try and find the right response. You know, for me, that's what it's about, making a difference, not point scoring and all the rest of it. So for me, I feel I'm in the right position. I just, you know, obviously we'll take advice and listen to people, but I'm trying to do the best I can to lead us through these very difficult times.
It's come to something, hasn't it, when we are feeling more resolute and reassured when a threat level has gone down to severe. Should we be actually reassured, or should we remain worried and vigilant?
Certainly remain vigilant, Eamon. Yeah, of course, the police have done an outstanding job with the investigation over the last week, and that reflects the fact that the threat level has been dropped, because, you know, there's a higher degree of confidence now about the nature of this network. But yeah, we're living through extraordinary times, aren't we, where the threat from extremism is present in communities around the world, and so we have to find ways of dealing with that and not become alarmed, and hopefully people everywhere take inspiration from Manchester. You know, I was at the Cortinas on Saturday night, and what I thought was incredible about that is that young people, thousands of them, said, "We're not staying away," and that was incredible, because bear in mind they'd have had a conversation with their parents, wouldn't they? But I think that, you know, people are determined here to live their life, and rightly so.
I want to ask you about the cup final in a second, but more importantly, we want to avoid, if at all possible, as a community in Britain, not just Greater Manchester, we want to avoid this kind of outpouring of grief and solidarity, good for the city though it is. So how do we move forward? This is a deep philosophical question that you're not going to be able to answer in a couple of minutes, I know, but what do you think we as a overall general community should now be doing to get to the root cause of radicalisation, and how should we approach it so that we're not always reflecting on what's happened, but how we can perhaps prevent what might happen?
Well, I think your question puts it very well, Eamon, if I might say, because the last week has just been about hold people together, you know, confront that immediate desire of terrorism to divide and don't let it win, and that's what we've all achieved together. But now a new conversation does have to begin about how do we make our community stronger and safer. And I am concerned that the current approach to tackling radicalisation, the PREVENT programme, isn't working as well as it should. I've gone on record as saying that. And what I want to do is capture the togetherness that's there in Greater Manchester and develop a new approach to tackling extremism, whereby we've got more buy-in from all of our communities. And, you know, people provide information quickly, as soon as it's available.
Well, that seems to have happened, though, in this case, and not been acted upon.
Yeah, and I think that is something that reflects well on us, actually, and particularly on the mosque concerned. You know, that the information was provided, and MI5 have said today that they are now going to review their procedures. I mean, I think nobody should get into the blame game, because this is obviously incredibly difficult stuff, and you know, it's easy with the hindsight.
Well, it serves no purpose.
No,
as long as lessons are learned.
But I think, you know, we need now to say, well, how can we capture what we have got in our city region to develop a better approach to tackling extremism? And that's what I want to do. And it's, so, it's, you know, I wouldn't say I've got all of the answers to it, but I am determined to do that now and have that conversation with people across Greater Manchester about that.
Do you think there's enough community cohesion? I mean, we've seen it very clearly this week, but generally speaking, is Greater Manchester ethnically diverse enough in terms of its cohesion?
I think so. I think there's, you know, a huge amount of good community relations across Greater Manchester, you know, and it's stronger than many parts of the country, but could always be better. You know, modern life does kind of push us to live in our own little worlds, doesn't it? And you know, we've got to work against that. And I think, you know, people should just reflect on how it makes people feel when we all come out publicly and come out together.
Has it come up higher on your agenda now since last week?
Yeah, I think, you know, we do now need to have a really positive conversation about how do we promote cohesion, but also tackle extremism at the same time, and do those two things together. So Councillor Rishi Shori, leader of Bury Council, will be leading on that work for me. And we want to have a real conversation about it. So let's turn this to some permanent good, and that's our aim.
OK, well, if I may say so, I think you've handled the role of representing us fantastically well this week. And I saw you on television on Saturday afternoon at the Cup Final, and that was uplifting to see two sets of London fans, 90,000 people, whatever it is in Wembley, hold that minute silence so wonderfully, and then you laying a wreath alongside the Duke of Cambridge. What was that like to be there?
It was impeccably observed, Eamon, really. I mean, I didn't hear one voice. You know, you in those moments,
you can, and you
wonder
one,
whether... I couldn't hear one murmur within that crowd, and that is a great credit to the Chelsea and the Arsenal supporters. And it was, yeah, it was. I was very conscious that I was there representing the people of Greater Manchester, and I wanted obviously to be there to do that. And the Duke of Cambridge, Prince William, was, you know, incredibly concerned. Actually, he spoke very well to me privately about the people here, and once expressed his view that he wanted to come and visit with Kate soon, which I said would mean a lot to people. So, you know, we'll you know, take great comfort from that. But I think the minute silence was you know, was beautifully observed, and rightly so.
So the representatives of us, of our city, yourself, the councillors, the leaders of the council, the police, all the support workers, the frontline workers, you've all done an amazing job. And it's not for me to speak on behalf of everyone in Greater Manchester, but perhaps those who would like to thank you and perhaps don't get to meet you face to face, you know, I can do that on their behalf.
Well, it's incredibly nice of you to say that, Eamon. I mean, obviously we've done our best in the circumstances we found ourselves in, but I would just want to say, you know, I've watched the police at close quarters this week. I've watched the fire service, I've watched the ambulance service, also the NHS staff. I've been to Stepping Hill, Salford, Bolton, Withenshaw. Really, when you see British public service at its best, it's truly awe-inspiring, the things that people have done. I heard about an intensive care consultant who was picking up his kids at the concert, immediately then found himself giving treatment to the victims as they lay there, and then drove himself down to his hospital, Stepping Hill, and did a 10-hour shift down there operating on people. I mean, what?
You know, where else would you find it?
Where else? I mean, this is the best of our country, isn't it? And amidst the difficult moments we've all had, just think about things like that, because this country, although we have our gripes about it at times, there's a lot about it that's truly great.